blessed are those who hear the passion of our Lord Jesus Christ. May it always be proclaimed among us until he comes. If possible, not only in words, but also in song, in patient and steady tones. And let it be for us the greatest mystery and the most beloved tale. Let us preach, and let us believe, and let us cherish Christ crucified, and never be ashamed of him. But how indeed can we understand this great and sorrowful event if no one will show us what is happening? Who can be our guide through the painful story that we have heard? Let it be Isaiah, the prophet, who, long before this day ever came to pass, already preached about our Lord Jesus Christ. He was despised and rejected by men, a man of sorrows and acquainted with grief. They crucified him, the most shameful and painful of all human sentences, because we esteemed him not. And yet, surely he has borne our griefs and carried our sorrows. We, like sheep, have gone astray. We have turned aside everyone to his own way. Not only have we sinned, but we have even dared at times to boast in them, to rest in them, even to wallow in them. By contrast, he was oppressed and afflicted, yet he opened not his mouth. Like a lamb led to the slaughter, and like a sheep before its shearers, he was silent. He did not deserve this, but still he bore it willingly. By oppression and judgment, he was taken away. They made his grave with the wicked, although he had done no violence, and there was no deceit in his mouth. He poured out his soul to death and was numbered with the transgressors. Pilate and the Roman soldiers made sure of that, and the chief priests rejoiced to see it happen. But it was not struck only by Jews and Romans, no, but also by you and me. But he was pierced precisely for our transgressions. He was crushed for our iniquities. The chastisement that was given to him was ours by right. But what has truly happened here is that he bore the sin of many in order that he might make intercession for the transgressors, including you and me. Father, forgive them. And here is the most amazing and beautiful truth of all. It was the will of the Lord to crush him. The Father has put him to grief. And we are to count him stricken, smitten, and afflicted by God. He was cut off from grace on our account and in our place. And what has happened in this cruel, unjust execution is nothing less than this. The Lord laid on him the iniquity of us all. The death of Jesus Christ, God's Son, is the sacrifice offered in our place. His soul has made an offering for all guilt. And the Father has seen the anguish of his soul, and he is satisfied. It is finished, indeed. The righteous one, God's servant, Jesus of Nazareth, the King of the Jews, the Christ, has now made many to be accounted righteous, since he has borne their iniquities himself. And he declares you forgiven and righteous, credited with his own righteousness, because he has borne your iniquities. Behold the life-giving cross on which was hung the salvation of the world. Is there any more joyful sight than that torturous image of the crucifix? Is there any more beautiful story, worthy of music and of our highest attention, than this crucifixion? Truly it is as we are about to sing. Behold, by the wood of the cross, joy has come into all the world. In this suffering servant, God is merciful to us and blesses us, and is causing his face to shine upon us to have mercy upon us. Just as the prophet Isaiah said first, upon Jesus was the chastisement that brought us peace. By his stripes,